And let's say together, our Father, will receive revelation that is found in you from your word. We declare and we decree that there's no error in this atmosphere. We receive your word with clarity in our heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. We started off on the topic believer's conduct, and we are in week 4. Week 4. Glory to God. Believer's conduct, rather. Did I say believer's authority? Conduct. Hallelujah. Believer's conduct. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You know, I just want to say something. You know, in following a minister or in getting to know a minister, you always, and it should be a guide for us, always get to understand the message of the minister. You get that? And in understanding the message of the minister, you need to actually be under his teaching for a while. It becomes immature and a sign of rebellion when you get into your place. You hear somebody speak for the first time, and you don't know the way things are done in that place. You begin to ask unnecessary questions. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. It's always important that you, if you get to a believer's gathering, always at least listen to the message first before you draw any conclusion. I am. Hallelujah. Make sure you listen to the message well. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Make sure you do that. It's very important. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And very important you do that.
Hallelujah.
It becomes hypocritical when you try to do otherwise.
Hallelujah.
Especially as regards ministers that you listen to. Hallelujah. I guess if anybody would know, would say he knows what in pastors or know me well or know any of our pastors well, he should have at least listened to 99.999 messages from our website. Before you can, because we don't have much here. Hallelujah. So you cannot just come in week 4 of believer's conduct and you now draw conclusions. Hallelujah. Learn to listen carefully, just like Jesus. Jesus was in the temple at age 12. He listened and asked questions. He listened. Hallelujah. Listening becomes very important when the message is tough. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Let's get back. Well, it's part of believer's conduct too, you know. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. I said that because someone heard me. I attended our meeting once. Are you so and so? You can't. You shouldn't do that on the one. On the one of the meeting. Understand? You shouldn't do that. It's not believer's conduct. Hallelujah. In fact, the person he made me, he tried to connect me to, is somebody I've never listened to his message. And we are not, we don't even say the same thing. Do you understand that? You say the same thing. Listen well. You spot the difference in the fact that what we teach is the gospel, not adulterated. Hallelujah. The gospel, scripture explained. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, are you hearing me? Hallelujah. There are no different versions of the gospel. No. The gospel is explained the way it is explained. The gospel has its message, and the message of the gospel is Christ. Any other message outside Christ from the scripture is called man-made doctrine. That's what Paul will call doctrine of demons. He will call it, he will tell them, beware of dogs, mutilators of the truth. Hallelujah. Any other thing. The Bible says they serve their own bellies and not the Lord. Hallelujah. So learn to listen to it. It's a believer's conduct.
Hallelujah. So, believer's conduct, right? Back to where we are. Believer's conduct. 1 Timothy 3:15.
1 Timothy 3:15. Okay. 3:15. He says, "And if I'm delayed, I write that you know how you ought to conduct yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Very important. I said, if I'm delayed, I heard that you know how you ought to conduct yourself, which is the house of the living God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So the pillar and the ground of truth. Now, we've looked at it. We said, we are the house of God because of the indwelling of the Spirit. We said that, right? Right? First of all, we said there's such a thing as believer's conduct. Hallelujah. Amen. There's a manner of life in which a believer, or there is a conduct that a believer must exhibit. Hallelujah. Amen. Believer's conduct. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, we said, Paul said, that you may know how you ought to behave yourself in the house of God. Now, he uses the word house of God. And we looked at it and we said, we are the house of God because of what? The indwelling of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. God, the Spirit of God in us. God dwells in us by His Spirit. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17. 1 Corinthians 6, 17. Quickly, let's go there. 1 Corinthians 6:17. It said, "But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him." Hallelujah. Verse 19. "Do you not know that your body is the temple of is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, whom you have of God?" Hallelujah. Don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit? Well, I said, when you hear the word temple, Father's house, or house of God, temple, something comes into your mind. What is that? Moses comes into your mind. Hallelujah. Did you get that? Moses comes. What is Moses? The Old Testament. When he gave them what? A temple. A tabernacle. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you understand that? He gave them a tabernacle. And we said, Moses will use types and shadows to explain the reality of Christ, the reality of the believer. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. Moses will use types and shadows. We use those things to explain because of why. Why would Moses do that? Matthew 19. He says, because of the hardness of your heart. Unbelieving state of the Israelites in the wilderness. So Moses will now prefigure what God will do with a temple. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you just get that? With a temple. Now, they feel God dwells in that temple. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But that was not true. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because if you read the book of Hebrews, if you read Isaiah and the book of Hebrews, quoting Isaiah, we say, God does not, did I say book of Hebrews? That is a sacrifice and offerings. You read Acts of Apostles chapter 7. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Even from Paul's writing. Even from Paul, that should be Acts of Apostles chapter 17. He says, the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. That is to say, automatically, that takes your mind back to Moses. That means, but Moses said the Spirit of God. Are you understanding the whole scenario?
Yes, sir.
That takes your mind back to Moses. God said he never dwelt in those things. Hallelujah. Now, the writer of Hebrews will now help you out. He said, I have no pleasure in them. Meaning, I didn't institute them. Did you get that? So, a good Bible student, like we said yesterday, we'll do what? We'll investigate well in the light of the epistles. We said that yesterday. Right? We said that yesterday. You will investigate well. Those of you who don't come for school of the world, you cannot be a member of WIM. I am not attending all the meetings. You're not a member yet. Do you understand? You cannot say you're a member when you're not attending meetings. And I have been in WIM for the past 30 years. I have not become a servant. How can you? But you are the meetings. Hallelujah. Because now I'm making reference to what I said yesterday. If you're not there, now how would you now understand in context? Do you understand? Okay, now let me go. So a good Bible student will now investigate what is this talking about. Like yesterday we investigated the word the law, right? We just looked at it. So that at least we'll have a guide whenever we are reading through, right? We just had a guide. This is how you know. When it has to do with man's effort, it's not from God, right? Right? Hallelujah. So the same way now, a good Bible student will now investigate. What was there? Why did Moses give them? Now in investigating, you will see the answer where in the gospel, Jesus will now say, because of the hardness of your heart. The writer of Hebrews will say, will tell them in Hebrews chapter 3, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation. Do you understand? Now, did you see that? Talking about unbelief. Unbelief. So, meaning, we also saw that Moses wrote about Christ. We saw that from Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 14, yesterday. Hallelujah. We saw that yesterday. Okay, that means Moses gave them the message of the gospel, but they rejected it. They refused it, right? They did not believe. That's how they refused, by not believing. So what will Moses now do? Moses will now give them the law of sin and death, and will now prefigure Christ in what symbols. Do you get that? Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Moses was to tell them what Christ will do. Why that? Okay, Moses was to tell them what Christ will do. Now Jesus explained in John chapter 3, as Moses lifted up the serpent. Now what Moses did was not because, oh, we'll be healed. Now those were symbols. Moses was explaining something to them. Hallelujah. Did you get that? So do not read the Bible together. Do you understand? You don't read everything together. Oh, when Moses did this, Jesus said this is the reason, or this is it. Oh, that is why he did so. Because they rejected, he will now do what? Give them types and shadows. Did you get that? Yes. Hallelujah. To understand more, listen to the message, the new birth, the leading of the Spirit. Seven chapters inside there. Chapter 1 to chapter 6. Explain this to them. Hallelujah.
Amen. It explained all through the new birth, right? Sister Ruth. All through in the new birth and the leading of the Spirit is there.
So you don't need to be, who is he saying? Go and you not study it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen. So now when they hear temple, Moses comes to mind, and we have now seen that in that temple God did not dwell. Now what did Moses do by bringing the temple? Moses was showing them what God, what Christ will do in the redemption. God will be on earth. God will tabernacle on the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
John chapter 1 verse 14, and the word became flesh and tabernacled amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now we can say, you know, the believers on earth is God walking on the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The believers on the earth is God moving on the earth. You need to know soul. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a reason we sang the song. He lives in me. He's living in me. He lives in me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. So the believer houses God. Oh, God is not in the temple. When Moses gave up the temple, it was to show them what will happen in the man in Christ. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now Paul now tells us, don't you know that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost?
Hallelujah.
Did you get that? Don't you know? Your bodies are the temple.
I know.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Meaning, hey, the ark that was to represent God's presence, that was in the temple, there was nothing there. It was just types and shadows. Oh, he lives in me.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
He lives in me. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Let's look at John chapter 14. Jesus explains that again to us. John 14, 23. Oh, glory to God. John 14:23. It says, Jesus answered and said to them, if anyone loves me,
He will keep my word, and my Father will love him.
Hallelujah. My Father will love him. And we'll come and we'll make our home in him. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, let me read it well. It says, he who loves me keeps my word, and my Father will love him, and will come and dwell and make our home in him. Our home, our dwelling place. Meaning, the man in Christ becomes the dwelling place of God.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
The heart of man becomes the headquarters of God.
Yes.
Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
God lives in man.
Glory
to
God.
Hallelujah.
Where does God live? He lives in me. My heart has become the headquarters of God. God lives in me.
Hallelujah. Did you get that?
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the man who believes the gospel is their house. He is their house. The word house is the word that implies a permanent dwelling place. It's the house of God. What does that tell you? Listen, I want to say that, make bold to say it. The word use of house is the word that implies a permanent dwelling place. That means your salvation is eternal. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your salvation is eternal. It cannot be lost. Why can't it be lost? You were not involved in the process. Glory to God. All you did was to believe, and he lives in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your salvation is eternal. God lives in you. You are now God's permanent address. Hallelujah.
Amen.
After this, we'll look at, after this series, I'll try and talk to us about sonship. Sonship. After this, we'll talk about this whole sonship. And the same time too, we'll discuss a very vital truth. Things that are eternal about us. Hallelujah. As we are discussing it, the school of the world will have it also coming up on Sunday. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Eternal about you. What is eternal about you? Your salvation is eternal. Your sonship is eternal. Cannot be lost. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we are in Christ. Hallelujah. And the man who believes is the house of God. Matthew 21, verse 23. Verse 13, rather. Matthew 21, 13. Let's go there. Jesus speaks concerning the word. House of God. House of God. Now, we are this house. We are God's permanent dwelling place. Hallelujah. Now, let's see what Jesus says in Matthew 21, 13. He says, and he said to them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, for you made it dens of thieves. My house shall be called the house of prayer. Jesus gives us a major activity that should be found in the house of God. Jesus gives us a major activity that should be found in the believer's conduct. Prayer. In a believer's life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Prayer.
Amen.
And take note. Listen to this. You know, let's quickly, you know, I want you to look at something. John chapter 1. Quickly. John 1. Verse 14. And the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He said, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
At Christ, listen, at his incarnation, it is God's house. Jesus, in his incarnation, is God's house.
Is God's house.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So now, listen, at his incarnation, at this resurrection, we all in him are God's house. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Get that? Now let's look at something. At his incarnation is God's house. So therefore,
we can look at the life of Christ. Or not we can, we look at his life. His life, the activity that he carried on, and know the activity that should go on in the house of God. Hallelujah. Do you understand? Meaning our, kind of use, this mirror, our activities must mirror Christ in his incarnation, what he did. Do you understand? Because he tells us what should go on in the believers or in the house of God, and he lived that way. Do you understand me? He tells us that my father's house should be called the house of prayer. He was not referring to a building. We said this in this in the first part when we started. I said the church was never referred to as a building, and I told us that Jesus would do something. He might do something and then give an explanation. Do you understand me? Now he was about to talk about the father's house. He went into the temple, destroyed those who were doing money exchange, and I said, my father's house shall be called the house of prayer and not the den of thieves. Now he was no longer talking about the physical building. No. Hallelujah. Now he did that as to point to what he's about to say. Remember, the writings, John chapter 2 helps us out. He says, this he spoke concerning what? The temple of his body. So meaning, everything he said there was not referring to a physical temple, but the temple of his body. Did you get that? Tells you that. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, we can look at Christ and know what the believer's conduct should be today in his incarnation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Did you get that? Now, 75% of the time, we found that Jesus was praying, or we found him praying. 75% of the time, we discovered that Jesus was found praying. And we said, okay, I'm about to say what I just said now. He models the New Testament believer's conduct. Jesus, do you understand? He models the New Testament believer's conduct. So, the man in Christ must be found too doing the same activity of praying. Do you understand? The man in Christ must be found doing the same activity of praying. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, we also saw last week that it was the character of the apostles, and that the epistles teaches us to pray without ceasing. We saw that last week, right? We saw it, that the epistles teaches us to pray without ceasing. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17. Are you there? 5, 5, 17, I read. It says, I'll read from verse 16. It says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. It is pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. Another important teaching on prayer. It is an important teaching. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We find the apostles teaching us to pray without ceasing. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians 4. Are you there? Verse 1. It says, continue earnestly in prayer. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Continue earnestly in prayer.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We also saw that from the book of Romans, chapter 12. Paul's writing to the brethren in Rome. Chapter 12. It tells us that we serve God in prayer.
Hallelujah.
Prayer is a service. Prayer is a service. Romans chapter 12. We saw this last week, but let's look at it again. Romans chapter 12. Verse 11, it said, not lagging in diligence, fervent in the spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continue steadfastly in prayer.
Do you see that? Continue steadfastly. For Castillo, continue earnestly. Keep it red hot. Hallelujah. Keep it red hot. Continue earnestly in prayer. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, the epistles teaches us to pray earnestly. Do you see that? Teaches us to pray continually. Continually. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, another very important teaching in the epistles concerning prayer will be, well, a teaching and an instruction. It's an instruction in the epistles that we should pray is the word that is praying in the spirit. Very important instruction for us to know in the epistles is for us to pray in the spirit. We're instructed to pray in the spirit. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians 6, 18. Is a praying always with all prayer and supplication where? In the spirit. In the spirit. And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. How would this be done? In the spirit.
Jude 20.
Say, but ye beloved, building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost.
Building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Question will now be, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? What does it mean to pray in the Spirit? You know, the church at Ephesus, listen. The church at Ephesus, when it tells them, pray in the Spirit, they know. Hallelujah. They know what Paul is talking about. Look at chapter 5 of Ephesians, verse 18. It tells them, do not be drunk with wine when is in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. He tells them to be filled with the Spirit. They know what he means. He has said, speaking to one another in psalms, in hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the your heart to the Lord. So when he tells the church at Ephesians or at Ephesus, pray in the Spirit, they know what he's talking about. Hallelujah. Why do they know? Because in chapter 1, if you look at Ephesians chapter 1. It said, chapter 1 verse 3 said, blessed be God. Be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Who has blessed us? Now the word who has blessed us means he has spoken well of us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
In Christ Jesus. Now, did you know the word spiritual blessings? Did you see how he started? He used the word spiritual blessings. That is the word pneumaticos. Hallelujah. Pneumaticos. Things of the Spirit. I mean, it means it applies in the Spirit, of the Spirit, by the Spirit, from the Spirit. Understand? Now, when he tells them concerning spiritual blessings, verses 13. From verse 5, he begins to tell them those things that are obtainable in Christ. Hallelujah. Look at verse 13. He says, in whom? Also, after you have believed, after you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Do you understand me? So, you see, he's talking, he's explaining things that pertains to the Spirit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It goes like that to chapter 2, to chapter 3, to chapter 4, to chapter 5, to chapter 6, and after they pray in the Spirit. Automatically, they know what he's talking about when he says, pray in the Spirit. All of them know what he was referring to by praying in the Spirit.
Hallelujah. Did you understand that?
Now, to the church at Corinth. Let's go to the church at Corinth. You know, the book at the
book to the church at Ephesus, you discover that Paul was majorly not addressing any spiritual, listen, was majorly not addressing any issue. Do you understand me? If you look at it critically, was majorly not addressing any issue. Do you understand? Look at it critically. But you see, Paul's writing to the church at Corinth.
Let's see something that is obtainable first of all in the church at Corinth. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. It says, but brethren, I could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal. Remember, he didn't say they were not spiritual people, or they have lost their salvation. No, so I could not speak to you as who you are, but even as unto carnal. Do you understand me? As unto babes were in Christ. Now, when he says babes in Christ, he is not referring to a spiritual level. No. You understand me?
Yes. He's not referring to a spiritual level.
You grow from being a babe to a techno. From a techno to a hero.
Keep quiet. Hallelujah.
Amen. That is lazy scripture. Lazy.
How is that for you?
Lazy believers, or lazy, in fact, that alone is carnal.
Hallelujah. It comes from a lazy study.
Hallelujah. He says, amen. I couldn't speak to you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal. When he says as unto carnal, he was referring to their word, behavioral pattern.
That's got nothing to do with their spirituality, but their behavioral pattern, their behavior. Do you understand me? Now look at verse 2 tells us that. Verse 3 tells us that, so for you are still carnal, for where there is strife, envy, and divisions. It tells that they, did you see that their conduct, they acted as babes in their conduct. We're talking about believers' conduct. Meaning a child of God, spiritual, that is who you are, hallelujah. So you are in the spirit, hallelujah. Amen. You understand me? Now, a child of God, born of God, can have the conduct of a carnal man, a man who is not born again. He said you behave like men. Men is the word that means ordinary men without the spirit of God. Now he referred to those who are without Christ as men. Say you walk. Your conduct is like that of men. Meaning a believer can have the conduct or can walk as a man. Do you understand me? But does that change who he is? No. He is still in Christ. Hallelujah. Did you get that?
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, this tells you the church at Corinth, they acted in their conduct as men.
They acted as men without the spirit of God. In fact, we go to chapter 5. One had his father's wife. In chapter 5. If we go to, is it chapter 6 or chapter 7? Chapter 6, one is walking they were walking as those without love. Do you understand me? Do you get that? So, he tells you an overview of what is happening, but yet, in chapter 1, look at chapter 1.
In chapter 1, verse 7, it says in chapter 1, verse 7 that they came behind in no gift. So that you came short in no gift, eagerly waiting for the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. They came short in no gift.
Do you see that? In the gift of the Spirit, they came short in no gift. Do you get that? But yet, in their conduct, they acted as men.
So, now, Paul now wants to address it. Now, look at what Paul now says. Do you understand that? Look at what Paul now says in chapter 2. verse 12. Now remember, let's look at chapter 2, verse 12. The first thing it tells them in verse 12 is what? You have received, now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is from God, that you might know the things that have been freely given to you of God. Now, Paul brings this to them, that you have received the spirit of God. Number one, Paul, you see, let me leave that for now. Get the message. The study on 1 Corinthians, I said it again. Hallelujah. I wanted to say something. But, you know, if you read the way Paul addressed the issue in Corinth, he first of all brought back to their remembrance who they are, identification in Christ. Then he says, tell them you've received the Spirit. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. You get that? You have received the Spirit.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, listen, he has called them that they received the Spirit. Look at what he now said in verse 13. He said, these things would speak, not in the words which man wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. He now calls them spiritual. You see that? Comparing spiritual things, which is the message, he calls the message spiritual things. He now calls them, those that are the recipient, who the ones that have the Spirit of God, calls them spiritual. Now that means this is their state, they are spiritual. Did you get that? Now you cannot see why he will not tell them in chapter 3, I couldn't speak to you as who you are. Do you understand? Did you get that? Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, listen. The man who is born again. Remember I said spiritual means in the spirit from the spirit by the spirit of the spirit. Now, the man who is born again is in the spirit, is from the spirit. He's in the spirit, he's from the spirit, he's of the spirit. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, I just quoted, he said, you are in the spirit. Hallelujah. The man born of God is the man in the spirit. Hallelujah. See, you're in the spirit, you're not in the flesh. Now, you are in the spirit. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Look at Romans 8, 11. He said, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall also give life to your mortal body through the spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brothers, we are not debtors to the flesh. We are debtors, sorry, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. Hallelujah. For if we live, the word live is the word that means to exist. He said, if we live, if we exist according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the things of the body, you would live. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Did you see? As many as are led by the Spirit of God. Now, who are there with as many as are led? The word led is the word ago. Ago in the Greek. Ago, A-G-O. What you call ego? What you call ago. Hallelujah. It's what that means to bring forth. To bring forth. Now, when it's as many as are led, it's not as many as, you know, I always retract, take back some things that I've said long ago by what I'm saying now. Now, I want to take back something. I want to take it back now. Now, it's not as many as are led. They are the heroes.
Hey, be careful. You don't read in context. Let's read in context. So as many as are, you know, when you now have the Greek around you, that's like, how come? How did I even get to this stage? Hey, you now have the Greek. Now walk with the Greek. Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I felt like singing a song. Oh, glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So, he said, as many as are led by the Spirit. Now, when you hear the word led, is what that means to bring forth. Like, when you give birth to something, as many as are brought forth by the Spirit. Now, he talks about what? The new birth. He's not talking about as many